So I want to just speak a little more now, and then we'll take a little space. If anyone needs to move or stretch as we go, please feel free to do that. You don't have to sit immobile for some sort of unendurable length of time. We're not approaching death through enduring the unendurable. Certainly that's not my intention. So, what makes it hard to really open to the truth of mortality? Which we've recognized the truth, or we've spent some time reflecting on that. We've also spent quite some time reflecting on how hard it is to really let it in, and the fact that often, clearly, we're not operating as if that truth is in the foreground of our awareness. You know, we're not. Our partner's irritating ways of being would probably feel different if they were on their deathbed right now. Maybe not, but probably. Even though they'd probably be just the same. And likewise, our mothers or our brothers or sisters or whoever it is that are the difficult people in that very close way that family and partners can be difficult for us, challenging for us. Or children, perhaps. Don't know if it works that way. Teenagers sometimes, maybe. I don't have any. But, So sometimes what happens in this territory is it's not easy to open to it because it brings us into some of the realms of the heart that we find the hardest to encounter. And that can include the experience of anger. And very fundamentally also the territory of grief, of loss. And it's not something that we generally look for as a place to abide. So there's this inescapable reality that the Buddha invites us to contemplate, that all, that means everyone and everything that we love, that is dear to us, beloved, that we will be parted from. Either it will go, or they will die, or we will die. And in that, there will be the loss of contact with that which we love, those people that we love. And what's it like just to sit with not just the acknowledging the truth of it, but letting oneself, well, you know, it's beyond me to really be able to know what that would be from where I am, because I don't think we can do this in advance, but we can let ourselves turn to it and just we either or both sides of any relationship, me and anyone else I'm in connection or relationship to, or a creature, a pet, a beloved animal, or even a place. Sometimes the land, the earth, or a long-term home have very deep connection for us. And one day we will lose that. It won't be there for us. They won't be there for us. Or we just won't be there. And it's easy for the mind to bounce a little bit off that. Yeah, yeah, I know. Or, oh, it'll be all right. Or, it'll be miserable, but, you know, been miserable before. Or we just kind of maybe notice a bit of a sort of a damping down of the energy, the vitality, the life force starts to sometimes kind of go a little bit dull, grey, fuzzy. And so part of the practice for me is to really reflect on, so what would this be like for me? Because every day it's so for people. and there's been some loss in my life. But in a way I'm fortunate. No one of my immediate family has died. There's plenty of people in this room for whom that's not the case. For whom that loss is not so long ago. Or is very much coming towards them in the case of someone close who's dying. So, you know, and it was in the news, I think. It was earlier this year. Well, but it might have been last year. I can't remember now for sure. And I was really struck by the story of a 15-year-old boy. I think he was 15 or 16 in England. The UK, at least. I'm not sure. It was in Britain. And he got his foot, somehow, playing with his mates, got his foot stuck under the rail of a train track. And he couldn't get it out. And he got on his phone, called his dad. And the train was coming. He said, "Dad, help." What could his dad do? Nothing. But he's talking to his son on the phone. And there's a train coming. And his son is about to be hit. And I don't know if he stayed on the phone for that moment. But I can't imagine he would have hung up. And if I let myself just... I can't be in that place, but if I let myself just even feel into maybe what that might be like, it's like, whoa, what would that be for the boy? Here's my dad, save me. For the dad, there's my boy, I can't save him. And all of that just completely out of the blue and unexpected, without a moment to prepare for what was about to happen. In the old days, one wouldn't have had the phone. But somehow that almost, like, it makes the connection more deeply felt to actually be in contact in that moment. What would you say? Once you realise that there was nothing going to happen other than, or that there was no way for death not to happen here. Maybe you'd hope that it wouldn't be a fatal accident. If you're about to be hit by a train, the hope isn't going to be great. But what would you say to your loved one if you were with them in the moment where they were about to die? What might you hope they would say to you if it was your death that was just approaching like a fast-moving train? And contemplating in this way, what I find is it's just like, oh, there's a sorrow, there's a grief, there's a... How can one say what would need to be said there? The words aren't really quite going to do it, are they? So just take a moment and notice what happens if we contemplate this. This is a small story. And a big story, of course, for the people. But not an unusual story. For several years, well, quite a few years, when I've talked about this theme, I've told the story of a woman on a flight from Geneva to, I think, Montreal, but certainly to Canada. And it was I think it was Air France or Swiss. Anyway, the flight went down in the Atlantic. About 15 years ago, mobile phones weren't so common. But at the point where the captain was calling out for people to take their brace positions, this woman picked up her phone, thought, to hell with the regulations, I guess. I don't know what she thought, but the rules that say you can't turn this thing on, you're in brace positions and you can feel the plane is going down, she picked it up and called her husband. Her husband was a friend of someone I knew, so I heard the story from that person. And in the middle of the night, her husband had woken up feeling strange and decided to go out and take the dog for a walk. So he wasn't there when the phone call came through. She got his answer machine, or their answer machine. I don't know what she left on that message, but it's like, again, what do you say? We're going down. goodbye, I love you, what would you say? And what would it be to come back from walking the dogs, having felt a bit strange in the middle of the night, to find a new message on your machine from your wife, who by then is dead? There are stories not necessarily quite so dramatic as those that don't maybe make the front page of newspapers. But they are all around us. And we know some of those stories ourselves. We have those stories in our own lives, at closer or less close degrees of distance. So one of the reasons that we really find it not easy to open to this territory is that it touches us to our very core of both what we love, and because we love it, what we will feel when we lose what we love, who we love. And opening to the territory asks us also to open to this. Doesn't mean we have to make ourselves feel bad. It may not mean that we actually have a strong emotional response to what I'm speaking about right now, and that's really okay. I notice that it affects me to talk about it, even though I've told these stories, you know. Well, actually, certainly the story about the woman on the flight numerous times. And I still feel it, because there's something in it that speaks to me, and I think us, about the reality of our lives and the reality of death. So let's take 20 minutes or so now, and some time if you need to get a drink or use the bathroom, of course, but just to go for, again, a little walk. And you might do some more formal walking, or you might just walk around and just let yourself be with whatever's here for you. But the contemplation is, this time, you know, all that is beloved, or you might say everyone who is beloved and dear to me, I will be separated from. And just let, again, just gently seeing there might be a way for you that phrase needs to be reworked a little bit, or some visualization that might help just evoke the sense of what that is. Don't try and make it something that you're trying to force at all. It's really important with this one. It's just to let it be like dropping a pin. And if it doesn't resonate particularly, it's okay. Just like I said yesterday, dropping a pebble in a pond. So let yourself just, okay, everything, everyone that is beloved and dear to me, I will be separated from. So rather than death as a concept, this is the actual practical implication, or the emotional practical, the heart practical implication of what death is involving, or what that reality of death brings into our life. Be gentle with yourself with this, and yet see if we can also be a little courageous to just let ourselves be touched in whatever way, which might be, you know, equally that we feel something quite different than what I've spoken about as my sense of feeling the sorrow. And so if we could have the bell rung at 11:30, and we'll come back for 11:35. Thank you.